Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Thanks for tuning into the show tonight.
Hey,
what's going on?
I guess you get the memo that this is not your show tonight. This is mine. I get to talk to you and ask you all the questions that you always ask everybody else. So you just sit back for a second and we'll get this thing going. So, hey, this is Rob and Terry. Mike invited me to come on the show tonight, and I told him, you know, he didn't have a guest necessarily lined up. I got the perfect guest. We're going to talk about you, and that's what I told him. So we're going to do a Lost Limbs radio show tonight, and we're going to talk about Mike Couch, and we're not going to roast you, Mike. So you're safe there. So that might come into play a little bit, but you never know. So. But I think it'll be fun. It'll be a chance that, it's your show, and you've had it going now for a year or so anyway. But I think it's time to, there's a lot of people that know you from Lost Limbs or you've seen you at Rhodes Hotel or something like that, but they probably really don't know you. And I think tonight's a good night to do some of that.
That sounds good.
So we'll kind of get into it. And we actually, Mike and I have not talked about any questions at all. So everything's going to be kind of impromptu. So he has no idea what I got kind of lined up, which is probably worrying him a little bit. And his mom is going,
no,
oh, my God, right now. And Crystal's just laughing like hell, I'm sure. Just to kind of get things going here, I know, unless your marital status and everything has changed, you're single and living there in Atlanta, Indiana. So give us a little history of basically, let's go back to like high school days. We won't go way back, but let's go back to high school days. What did you do in high school? Did you sports, music, or what was your interest in all in high school?
I was a nerd. I wanted to do sports, but I couldn't, really because of my leg and stuff. I did play drums in band. I had some problems off and on with things with my leg and everything, but, we did like marching stuff and, we played at the basketball games and stuff like that. But it was a good time. I mean, it was, it was fun. It was one of the activities that, even though I had, problems with the leg and stuff, I was able to do things, with it. And it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
So you played in the band. Now, did you play just in high school band, or did you guys have a band on the side, like the garage bands and things like that, or what did you do with that?
Well, we did the high school thing. We had the high school band there. Where we did the marching and we played at the basketball games and stuff like that. And of course, after school, I had that wild idea to start playing music with other people. And we started playing some cover tunes here and there. And then eventually it formed into a band and. We started playing some of our own stuff and writing our own things, and got kind of crazy.
That's cool. Who's your favorite band as you're growing up or even today?
I've got so many favorites. I'd say probably one of the main ones is probably Seven Dust. They're a little bit heavier rock, but their drummer I've always admired. He's amazing. He's one of those that I've always kind of looked up to. And even like, it's a funny story. Like even after I lost my leg, I thought, well, it's kind of over. I'm probably not going to play drums anymore. And I like reached out to the drummer, Morgan from the band. And he was just like, don't stop. He's like, find a way to do it. And, that was cool, cause I was lucky enough that I'm one of those that was lucky enough to not only be a fan, but I made a friendship with these guys, over the years, because I used to do some stuff for the record label that they were signed to years ago. It was fun. I got to meet those guys and hang out with them and, be inside, and like check out the sound check and all that stuff. And I looked up to those guys. They were really cool. And, it was kind of cool hearing Morgan, you know, come back and just say, why quit? Find a way, you know, around it to do something, you know. And as you know, you came over before, you know, I was playing drums a little bit, messing around with stuff when you've come over here to the hotel before. I mean, you even messed around with them some.
Yep. Yeah, I played drums when I was in high school and all too. So, yeah, I know what that's all about. But so what was your first concert you ever went to?
Gosh. I think it was Motley Crue. It was with my cousin. He convinced my parents to let me go. And it was Motley Crue and Lita Ford. And I think somebody else was with them. I can't remember who else was with them. But, yeah, so that was cool. That was, you know, once that they actually, you know, let the leash go and actually let me go to a concert.
Now, are you sure it wasn't New Kids on the Block?
Yes, I'm positive, Robin. Yeah, I know where you're going with this, yeah.
No, I just had a little bit of inside information there, and, you know, somebody mentioned to me that they thought that was your first concert. So.
Yeah, that was all because of Tiffany, yeah.
Don't know anything about her, but we'll skip that part over, so. Okay, you said you were a nerd in high school. Is that where you kind of got into the Captain America phase?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been into the superhero thing, you know, and Captain America was one of the favorites, you know. Of course, I mean, a lot of the ones in the Marvel Universe, you know, I've always been a fan of, like, you remember, and you might even remember this if you even watched some of the superhero shows, you know, in the past. Like, did you remember, like, the old Spider-Man TV show and, like, the old Hulk that had, Bill Bixby, that was the
right.
Hulk and all that? Yeah, I used to watch those all the time, you know, when I was a kid. It was awesome. And, you know, Captain America was one of those that I was a big fan of, and that was cool. And as you know, my wardrobe is like fully supplied with Captain America stuff.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how many hundreds of Captain America shirts do you actually have?
Yeah, I actually counted them a while back. I counted them, and I can't remember if it was 26 or 28 shirts that I have. Plus, I have this really cool hoodie that has the shield on it. So, yeah, there's a few.
And
well, as you noticed,
got the
like
signed, didn't you?
I did. Me and Crystal went to Ace Comic Con in Chicago last October, and. You know, it was one of those things, like, you know, I found saw Chris was doing a very few appearances at Comic-Cons, and every one of them were really far away that I couldn't go to. And, like, to tell you the full story to this, it's kind of sucks, but yet kind of funny. The whole story with this, like, we found out last minute what happened is, like, Comic-Con posted something about, this was like a Tuesday night, I think it was, and they were just like, oh, Chris Evans is going to be here. Tickets go on sale tomorrow. And I'm like, this sucks because I don't have the extra money, really, you know. So Crystal was like, I'm going to buy, I think she was going to do the photo op, and then I was going to get the autograph because I wanted to get the shield signed. Sorry. So that was the plan. So then they went on sale at like 3 that next afternoon. So, you know, a couple of minutes after, you know, 3, whenever they went on sale, she sends me this message saying, got the photo op, you know? And I'm like, okay, cool. But I go in, I like put it in the cart, you know, how you go online, you put, you know, add your items to the cart and you go to checkout and then you have to put all your personal information in. I put all that stuff in, had the autograph, I click it to submit it. And it comes back and said, there's a problem. So I'm like, oh, this sucks. So come to find out, it sold out. So I'm thinking, I'm not going to get the shield signed. So at this point, I'm like, well, you know, this sucks. Because the only thing that was left was like the VIP, which was like the entire thing. You get a photo op, autograph, all that stuff. And as you know, I collect Funko Pops. So
yeah, you get a couple.
Yeah, I got a couple. So what happened is my parents were up here, and they were here that same day, and they were like, did you get your autograph? And I'm like, well, no. And here's the story, you know. So I told them what happened, and I was like, there's no way I can afford the VIP. So that's when they were like, well, you know, we'll help you out with you getting it. And I was like, I'll sell some pops to pay you guys back. So we did all that, and then, you know, I went in, able to get the VIP package and everything, and then, of course, October rolled around, and, you know, we went, and, you know, it was a blast, and I got the Shield sign, which is really cool. Now I just got to find some really cool way to display it here. but it was awesome, I mean, because, you know, Chris is one of those, I mean, you know, Captain America is just, you know, I've always been huge on that. So to be able to meet him, I know some people are just like, eh, you know, you pay all this money to meet this person, that person, or whatever. But that was really cool for me. That was like my thing, that I was just like, this is, you know, this is awesome. So it was a cool time. It was fun.
Yeah, I think everybody's got that one person that they'd always like to go out and meet, and, you know, and the price is no object or something like that. But, yep, it's so I can see, you know, I can see that happening and you doing that, and your parents are cool, and, you know, to help you out with that, and, you know, Crystal was,
yeah,
and went with you, so that helps a bunch too. So that made it kind of,
oh,
nice.
Yeah,
made a nice road trip out of it anyway.
So yeah, let's, yeah, it was awesome.
You know, with your leg, it's, you know, that you start having problems, I guess, in high school or before or something like that, and everybody knows that you lost your leg because of some situations, but give us a little background on that, because I know it's always kind of quickly done through a convention or something like that, and it's hard to hear sometimes what's going on. But tell us a little bit about what happened, you know, with the leg situation.
Yeah, well, I guess to give you the full story, basically since birth, just in the right leg, the veins were knotted up. They said venous malformation was the terms. So the veins were knotted up, and I had a lot of times that it would hurt and the swelling would get really bad. And, you know, I mean, like, I could go to school one day and I would be fine, you know, even go to like gym class and we can run, I'd be fine, go home, ride my bike or whatever, you know, in that evening or something, and then get up the next morning and then I'm fine, and then go to school and not do anything, you know, to really cause any problems with my leg. And then come home, go to bed, and get up the next morning, and I would literally have to crawl out of the bed and just, like, almost crawl just to get to the bathroom, because the swelling was so bad, and it hurt so bad. So, you know, it was quite often I had issues like that. You know, I remember having times.
How old were you when that was going on?
Well, I mean, I remember even... Gosh, I remember when I was really young. I mean, you know, even like in really like grade school, I mean, I had issues with it. I mean, but it seemed like the older I got, the worse it got. You know, I mean, it's, you know, I don't know if it was just maybe being up more or maybe trying to be more active or what it was. I mean, but, you know, I had a lot of problems with it. And, you know, it seemed like the older I would get, the more issues that were coming up with it, you know, and I even had once, like, after I got out of school, I started working, and I had some issues with it, and they ended up, you know, I ended up having to take a leave, you know, from work, and went and saw a doctor, and they suggested surgery, and they did surgery, and like, just in the bend of the ankle, right there in the front, and sorry, but they did, you know, surgery right there in the bend of the ankle. Didn't help. This doctor really didn't. I think he just had no. I think he saw dollar signs. But you know, he did this and was trying to help. I mean, but like I said, again, you know, it really didn't help. But I had so much time to be off work, and the doctor released me in time for that. So, you know, next thing I know, work is, they're letting me go. They're like, you know, we can't, you know, we're just going to have to let you go because you can't be back when we need you back and all that stuff. So it sucked, you know? So I had, you know, times like that it was hard with work. And I went back in to have another surgery with this same doctor in hopes that something would work out. And I remember when I went back in, you know, that they were saying something, you know, about possibly having to amputate part of my foot, something like that. And, at that time it caught me off guard. I wasn't ready for it. And at that point I was just like, okay, we can take the IV out because I'm going home. I can't do this right now. So they ended up, you know, I mean, like I said, I was already sedated. They were ready to take me back. And, you know, I was like, no, take out the IV. I'm not doing it. Going home, you know. Fast forward a little bit, you know, still having issues. Like I said, this was like probably late, I don't know, like maybe 94, 95, I think, something like that. Fast forward to like 2009. All the issues and stuff that I was still having with the leg, with the swelling and the pain and everything. And I got to like late 2009 and started having a lot of problems with it. And I noticed something was wrong, on top of the pain and swelling. And so I found a really good doctor that I went to in Cincinnati. And he was like, well, let's try a few things and see what we can do. You've got blood clots. After testing and everything, they tried to start doing some stuff, you know, to try to help me with that. And nothing really helped. He eventually got to the point, like early 2010, I think it was, and set me down and said, okay, you're either risking a clot going to your heart or your lungs and possibly killing you, or we can take you in and do surgery and amputate just above your knee and hopefully get rid of the problem. So of course, only one choice that I have, right? So,
right.
I literally was just like, okay, I need some time to think about this. So I kind of, even though I knew what I had to do, I was like, I kind of got to get that mindset to, you know, this is what has to happen. So I take a little bit of time, and, I think I took like a few weeks or so, something like that maybe. But then I called back and scheduled an appointment, went in and said, okay, this is what needs to be done. So, you know, let's go ahead and schedule it and do it. And so we got everything scheduled, and then I got into, you know, a little bit later into the year there, and actually it was like June 30th. I remember the day well. I went in, and they went in there, you know, walked in and took me back and all that stuff, you know, and got me ready and all that, and they're drawing on my leg, all that crazy stuff. I ended up setting up the entire night the night before, because I was like, if I'm tired, maybe after they sedate me, maybe I'll just kind of drift off and go to sleep, and then, you know, I won't be so, I was terrified. I mean, just to put it out there, I mean, I was terrified. I was scared to death, because I'm like, you know, you got those what ifs and stuff. You're dealing with blood clots and, you know, an amputation. I don't know anything about this stuff. You know, I'm like, what happens? Because see, when I was a kid, they wouldn't operate because they kept saying that I would bleed to death in surgery. Because all the veins and you know, all this stuff. So, you know, that kind of came back from my childhood, you know, it came back in, and I was, like I said, I was terrified. So I ended up setting up the entire night. Crystal set up with me. and I literally got no sleep.
She's a good sister, as much as we give her crap.
She is. Yeah, she is. Yeah, we got to keep giving her crap, though, you know, because it wouldn't be normal if we didn't, right?
That's right. That's the only way she knows I really like her.
Yeah. I mean, she would be concerned if we didn't give her crap. We just stopped, and she'd be like, okay, what's wrong? So, she was awesome, set up with me, you know, pretty much the entire night. So we're exhausted. I go in, and, you know, I'm, like I said, I'm worn out. And I remember them coming to get me. They took me back, you know, into the operating room, and I kind of dozed off, you know, and then I remember them, you know, asking me to scoot over onto the table and stuff. And then, you know, I kind of laid there and I kind of dozed off. And I remember someone coming up. I don't know if it's anesthesiologist who it was, but he come up and said, you know, your doctor's running a little bit behind. He said, just relax and we'll get to you soon. And, I kind of dozed off from there, and that was, for the most part, pretty much about it. I woke up, and it was rough. You know how most people will kind of wake up from the anesthetic and just they're groggy, and you know, it takes them a little while to wake up and everything. I literally it's almost like you just snapped your finger, and I was like wide awake. They were pushing me back. Well, I guess before I get to that, let me tell you. Like I remember kind of opening my eyes in, you know, the recovery room and stuff. And they would, you know, I kept hearing like this beeping noise. And I remember a nurse was coming in and stuff and saying, I need you to take deeper breaths and stuff. I guess my breathing was shallow, which is probably from the anesthetic. I don't know. But I remember they kept coming in and doing that. I'm like, okay. You know? So, you know, anyway, like I said, you know, I was still out of it from there. But when they were wheeling me to my room, I literally just napped out of it, and I was wide awake, and then I got sick, and I was just like, I'm going to get sick on the way to the room. So, you know, so all that happened. You know, they get me to the room, and then it was almost like it was kind of like a dream. I just kind of reached down. I looked, and I saw my leg bandaged up, and I just kind of reached down, and I realized, okay, it's over. From that point, you know, I was like, okay, it has to get better from here, you know, because it's taken care of, you know, at least so I thought. But then I learned that the upper part, like in the upper back part of my leg, that there were still some veins that still knotted up that they didn't get to. And, you know, he was like, it might be an issue later down the road, and, you know, you might not have an issue. We don't know. But he's like, right now, this is the most that we wanted to take off of your leg, you know, because the more they take off, the less likely, you know, it is for me, for a prosthetic to really work like it should. So, they kind of stopped there. And then, as you know, still have issues with the upper back part of the leg, but fortunately now I've kind of got to that point now to where, you know, I just recently got back into a prosthetic and I'm doing okay. I mean, it's, you know, still having the leg issues. It still hurts. It still swells. But due to this new socket that I'm in, I'm able to actually get around a little bit easier and better than what I was before, because the other ones just, you know, once they mold them to your leg, there's no, you know, there's no getting in it if they're swelling. So, yeah. So
this one actually has
pretty
like
much
some silicone. This one has some silicone that will help, you know, adhere to your leg, but also stretches out when you need to then, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The other one's like, you know how you break your arm, you go in and they make a cast, and you know how those are. They're, you know, You're not going anywhere. You're stuck in that, you know, they're made how they're made, you know, to your arm or your leg, whatever you broke. That's kind of how these other sockets were made. And now they've changed it to where you have like this silicone on the inside there. And then there's a little bit of a hard shell that's carbon fiber on the outside to kind of keep you know, to where you know, it'll keep the suction and stuff, you know, once you're in it, it'll kind of keep that form. But the way the silicone's made, and it kind of opens up from the carbon fiber in areas where it allows your leg to, you know, you can get that little bit of expansion if you have some swelling in your leg. So that helps because, you know, now that's allowing me to still be in the leg, even if they're swelling, versus the other one wasn't doing that. And everybody, you know, noticed before, I was never wearing the other one because I couldn't, because I had no room for my leg to go anywhere once the swelling would come in, and you can't get back into the leg. So this one is opposite of that. I'm still able to actually get into it, and so far, so good.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, it's a, I know we've talked quite a bit, you know, within the, and it's working out pretty well right now. So I was just looking at some years and everything. So you basically have gone 15 years between the time that you really started a lot of the pain and you turned down having the leg amputated until you finally got amputated. So that's like 15 years that you had to think about that. I mean, that's just kind of eerie thinking that you went 15 years just with that whole situation. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's, you know, and looking back on it, you know, I mean, with the leg getting worse like that, I mean, it's kind of scary when you look back at it because something could have easily happened to me. I mean, you know, I went all this time and then it took 2010 to roll around for a doctor to sit down and tell me what I probably already knew, but just didn't want to kind of, you know, I guess just didn't want to take that chance and really face it thinking, okay, I'm going to lose my leg. Or possibly lose my life. You know, so I got kind of lucky, you know, that at least that I got to that point. I did get into a doctor and then they sat down and said, okay, this is what you're looking at and it's the reality. And, you know, I finally was like, okay, let's do this and then hopefully everything will be better.
Basically, it sounds like you had finally got a doctor that pretty much point blank told you, you have two options.
Yeah.
Remove your leg or die.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you know, and of course, you know how that is. You get somebody that sits down and tells you something like that, then you're like, okay, I only have one option. Well, you know, well, I do have two options, but obviously, you know, I'm going to go with option A because at least there's a little bit of a chance.
Yeah, the second
one's
not much fun.
Yeah, yeah, the second one didn't sound as fun, so yeah. But, you know, and like I said, it was a matter of just sitting down and getting my mindset of, like, this is what I need to do. You know, and then I just said, this is what has to be done. And I just kind of tried to face it, you know, the best way that I could. You know, it's still hard, but, you know, I'm doing all right with it, you
sure.
know, and all the yep. support that I have, you know, that helps. I mean, you know, you hear so many stories with people going through things that are really tough, you know, in their life. And, you know, you hear about so many people getting depressed and, you know, and just having a hard time. And I was lucky enough that, you know, just between the support that I had from friends and family and just trying to stay positive, that I was lucky enough to where, you know, I didn't have too rough of a time. I mean, I had rough times, you know what I mean? But it wasn't severe, you know. I don't think I fell into, like, really any big depressions or anything like that, you know. And that's kind of how the charity kind of came about, because you know, learning the things that I did, you know, about prosthetics and stuff like that, you know, it got me thinking about stuff, and I guess in a sense it kind of occupied my time and didn't really allow me to have those moments to where I would maybe slip into a depression.
Well, speaking of the charity, I mean, tell us, you know, how did that really come about? I mean, what made you decide to go and do that?
Well, still got this stupid cough.
sounds like that, yeah.
Yeah. With the charity, it was all my personal experiences that I dealt with things, you know. I mean, just learning the costs of things. And you know, I think that one of the clinchers to things was when I went in, you know, I mean, I wasn't working after all this stuff happened. You know, I went into the prosthetics clinic and, you know, they got me all set up, got me fitted and got everything done. And then when I came back in, you know, they were like, well, here's the date you're going to come in and we're going to do delivery and you're going to pick up your new leg and stuff. And I was, okay. So I get in and I learn that there's a gap in the insurance. And, you know, it was like $3,000, something like that. I was like, I don't have it. I'm just not going to get the leg because I don't have the money because I'm not working. You know, luckily, the company was like, we'll write it off. you know, that way you can get it. And you know as well as I do, not everybody that comes through the door, they just do that for just anybody that comes in, you know. So I was one of those lucky people that they were just like, pull right it off, and then you'll be able to get your leg. So that kind of made me think about things. And then, of course, when I learned the costs, like, you know, the socket, like in my case, was like $15,000. And, you know, they tell me in the beginning, they're like, if you gain weight or you lose weight, we have to make a new socket. You're going to have to come back in, and then we have to do it all over again. And, it, you know, it's another, you know, another cost. So, you know, you start thinking about kids growing up, you know, as kids grow, you think about them going through shoes and you know, how many times they're going to change shoe sizes in a year. And, you know, same thing with the prosthetics and stuff. I mean, if they, you know, if their leg's amputated, you know, if they hit a growth spurt, then they're going to probably go through two or three sockets in a year, if not more, maybe. And, you know, so I just, things like that just kind of put me in thought. And, you know, with the cost and stuff, I mean, my leg was like $70,000. You know, and I learned that a lot of parents, that their insurance wouldn't cover a lot, or some of them didn't cover anything at all. So, you know, I thought, okay, I want to start something to be able to help kids, to where if they have that $3,000 gap like I did, they don't have to worry about it. You know, the parents will still be able to get the kid, you know, the prosthetics and stuff. So I guess the main thing is, didn't want them to go through what I had to go through. You know what I mean? Make it a little bit easier on them, because I might not have been so lucky. I might not have been able to have that $3,000 covered. So, yeah, so, I mean, that's kind of what started the whole idea.
Now, with the charity, did you have any ultimate goal as far as, like, you know, that you'd really like to be able to raise so much in a year or do this? Or, you know, did you have any idea in mind as far as where goal-oriented, that you were wanting to head in a certain direction, or anything that came in mind at the time?
It was one of those things. I knew nothing about nonprofits. I literally sat down and researched, and, you know, Google came in handy. I literally sat down and researched everything that I could find on, you know, how to start one, how to run one, you know, what it takes to make it function, and, you know, just everything that I could possibly learn. And, you know, I really didn't think about, well, I wanted to raise this much money a year or anything like that. It was kind of one of those things. I just sat down and researched to figure out, you know, what I needed to do to start it and get it up and running and keep it functioning. And, you know, that took up a lot of the time, just like I said, just working on, you know, doing stuff like that. And then, you know, ultimately it was just like, okay, I want to help every kid that we could possibly help. So I really didn't think about, numbers, like, oh, I want to set this goal and make this much this year and do this, you know, the next year and all that. You know, at first it was just one of those things. I just wanted to learn and, you know, then get everything up and running and then just help every kid that we could possibly help.
And the charity's really, it's really grown quite a bit since you first started. I think there's a lot more awareness, yeah, and it's getting bigger and bigger. So I don't think there's any real stopping it at this point.
Yeah. I'm going full force still, you know. I mean, I know we have like those time frames where, you know, we don't have kids that we're helping and stuff, which is like now. It's been a little bit, you know, since we've done anything. But, you know, I mean, I'm looking, and, you know, I'm always looking to find, you know, a kid that really needs to help, you know, that we can sit down and work with and try to help them. So, it takes time. But, you know, I'm sure here pretty soon people are going to see us back in action and doing things. And, you know, and everybody that knows me and everybody that comes here to the hotel, I always tell them, you know, we always put out there, we show people the kids that we help. Not for a promotional thing. It's just purely to show people where their money goes. I think that was one of the things in the beginning is, you know, I wanted to show everyone who it helps. But, you know, I think it's important that people see where their donations are going, and what better way to actually show them a kid that we actually helped and tell them a little bit about that kid, you know, what they've dealt with, and you know what I mean? So that way then they can kind of relate a little bit more and see what the charity's really about. You know, but that's, you know, like I said, that's one of the things. And of course the other thing was, cough again. And then of course the other thing was just making sure that, you know, I personally got to meet every kid, because it's not just about saying, you know, here you go, here's some funds for you to be able to get your prosthetic. I want to be able to go and spend time with those kids, you know, because I'm an amputee too. And, you know, this might be new to them. They might have questions. They, you know, it might give them, I don't know, maybe a little more hope with things, you know, if you actually connect with them personally and spend some time with them. So I make it a point to spend time with every kid that, you know, we help, you know, in some ways, you know, I mean, sometimes, like, you know, I've had them before, we'll go watch a movie. We'll go to, you know, go to just different places and do some things and have dinner, you know, just different things like that, to just be able to sit down with the family and spend some time with the kid, you know, that we help. So I think that's important to kind of show them, hey, you know, I'm kind of in the same position, and I'm, you know, I'm getting around just fine, and I'm doing okay, and if I can do it, you could do it, you know?
Especially if they're a young child, between, you know, if they're 10 to 14 years old or something like that, they're thinking, well, this old guy can run around on, you know, one leg. I guess I can do it for a while. So,
because they're
going to think about a lot of difference in age. But I think it's kind of cool, too, that you actually do kind of screen the families, too. It's not just a matter of somebody sends you a letter and says, hey, my son really needs some help. Could you send us a check? And you send it. That doesn't happen. You pretty much go through and make sure these families are legit.
Yeah. Yep, I do. Yeah, definitely. You know, and it's, you know, I mean, because I, you know, I, unfortunately, I get things that, you know, not so much, you know, I think I had one that there, you know, someone was just asking, you know, can you send my kid to an amusement park or something? And I'm like, well, we really focus on just helping kids with the prosthetics that they need. You know, that's pretty much where we're at on there. You know, we don't, you know, so, I mean, I screen everything, you know, I sit down and, you know, whether it's the family reaching out to me or I'm reaching out to the family, or it's someone that sends me a message and says, hey, I know this kid, they really need some help, you know, then I, you know, like I said, I connect with that family and talk to them and just learn the situation and what's going on and, you know, what's needed to be able to help them. And then, you know, try to go through the process to set something up to be able to meet with them and you know, see what we can do to help them out.
Yep. Now, you mentioned too that, you know, you go out for a movie or just a chance to meet the kids. And I remember seeing firsthand at Scottsburg, Indiana, the event that you did there, I forget, it's been a few years now, probably 4 years ago, whenever it was, but Brittany came up from Texas that I had, you know, the girl that I met,
yeah,
had the one leg, and the one boy there that had just lost an arm not that long before that event. And he was pretty much like down in the dumps and pretty much, you know, just, you could tell it just wasn't the typical kid, but Brittany, basically, with having one leg, running around with him, kind of brought, you know, you could see that his whole attitude changed when he saw her with one leg, you know, running around the hallways, racing him and things like that. So I think it does help when, you know, somebody like yourself or Brittany or somebody has a chance to meet some of these other kids and tell them, hey, they're
going
to still do things. So I think that's a big thing, going out and meet these kids.
Yeah, so, it is. And even at just something real quick to add to that, I just recently had one of the kids that we helped in the past, I'll just leave it at that for now, I guess. But I had a parent reach out and say, you know, I see you're in your new leg and, you know, you're moving around and getting around and stuff. And the kid that we'd helped in the past was, they're in a new one, and this new one, their knee bends like what kind of similar to what mine does. And they're getting discouraged and not really wanting, you know, to wear it like they should. And you know, I don't know, like I said, I still don't know the whole story with it, but he's getting discouraged from it and he's not wanting to wear it, you know, to make a long story short. So, you know, I'm looking at going back to meet with them. And, you know, I thought this would be a good opportunity to use my leg and say, hey, you know, check this out. This is cool. You know what I mean? And kind of show them, you know, we getting around and stuff, and just say, hey, I'm getting used to this leg too, you know, so this leg's new to me too, but, you know, maybe it's one of those that I can kind of get him, you know, to build interest, you know, to be like, okay, well, then I'll just give it some time and try to get used to it, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, I'm kind of going through the same thing he's doing now, you know, just trying to get used to it, and, you know, you get up and you kind of get stubborn sometimes. I mean, like, I've been like that in the past. You get up and you're just like, well, I'm not going to wear it today, or I don't want to wear it today, or, you know, I'm just going to go to the store and back, and that's it. So why bother putting it on? You know what I mean? So,
right.
You know, hopefully I can meet with him soon and be able to sit down and say, you know, hey, this is cool. Let's, you know, get used to you wearing this leg, and it'll really help you out.
Yep. Yeah, that makes sense. But so, you've got something coming up big, speaking of the leg, and it's going to be new, and it's going to be a kind of a new adventure. So tell us about this this climb with Nick Groff coming up.
Yeah, so the climb with Nick's going to be interesting. I think Nick's ready for it right now. I think he could go climb it tonight if he wanted to.
Probably already has.
yeah, who knows? Maybe he's just like, oh, I'll go climb it tonight and see how it is, and June rolls around, I'll be like, oh yeah, let's go do this, Mike. No. But yeah, I kind of, you know, Nick's been cool about supporting the charity and stuff in the past, and, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, go to some of his events, probably noticed that, you know, we set up there, you know, thanks to, you know, Lee and Jennifer and you know, Jeff and Nick and everybody, you know, for letting us set up and stuff and push the charity. But Nick's been cool about supporting, and I told him, you know, I sent him a message, and I was like, I think I'm going to do something crazy. And he was like, what, you know? And I told him, I said, I think I'm going to try to climb a mountain and just to kind of prove to myself that I can do something. Cause like, you know, what I was saying earlier, you know, I was kind of limited on what I could do before. And, you know, even though I did these things, but, you know, now, you know, and it's completely different now with my leg gone, you know, with the prosthetic. So I'm like, I want to tackle something big, even if this is the only time in my life that I ever do something huge like this, I want to tackle this. And I told Nick what I was going to do, and he was like, you know what, I'll do it with you, and let's do it as a fundraiser and help the charity. So the next thing you know, we're like trying to figure out when we're going to climb and all this stuff. So before you know it, we sit down and it's like, okay, Saturday, June 22nd, we're going to climb Mount Washington. So, yeah, so this should be fun, a challenge, and interesting. And I think it'll be something really, really cool. You know, I think it's going to be a pretty cool, journey, I think, you know, to take, and just kind of show myself, and not only that, maybe, you know, other people that might feel like what I felt like, you know, before, and maybe it'll motivate them a little bit more to say, you know what, if this guy has had all these issues with his leg and he's going to push himself beyond his limits to where he thinks, you know, this is crazy to try to do, and then I go out and I climb a mountain, you know, that maybe these people, whatever their issue is, it doesn't have to be, you know, a leg amputation, and it doesn't have to be climbing a mountain, whatever it is, you know, maybe it'll be something that'll motivate some other people to say, you know what, I'm going to push my limits with whatever this is that I'm dealing with, and then try to go beyond that and do, you know, something big that they want to do.
And you guys are going to do some videotaping and everything on this too, and hopefully do some live broadcasts on Facebook if the signal allows it.
Yeah, if we have a signal, we're gonna broadcast. Gosh, yeah. So, if we have a signal, we're gonna try to do live updates like on Facebook and stuff as we're going up, just to kind of touch base and let everyone know that we're out there and we're doing it, and kind of give them an idea of how far we've gone and how much more we have left and all that. And then we are going to be filming it for a documentary type thing that will air on like VidiSpace and all these other platforms that VidiSpace is on. So that should be probably later this year sometime. So people are going to be able to sit down and watch and see whether I make it to the top or I get halfway up and say I can't do it. So.
And then that's what the part where Nick picks you up and throws you over his shoulder. Either that, or since Jeff's going to be there to videotape everything, you guys might have to carry Jeff up the hill, up the mountain. So you never know.
Yeah. We'll see how it turns out. So.
But if people want to donate to that, they can go to the LostLimbsFoundation.org Facebook page, or the website, or you can go to the Facebook page, and there's a spot on there they can donate. For this cause going up the hill and up the mountain and all too.
Yeah, exactly. And if people, how Facebook is set up now to where people can find, their own charities like to do for their birthdays or whatever, definitely that's something. If people want to support what we're doing with the climb and everything, feel free to create your own fundraisers and stuff on there, and just when you go in, you can search Lost Limbs Foundation and it'll come up, and then you can just pick that as the charity and do your fundraisers there, so you can support that way as well.
And I really think it's so cool because I see so many people now when they have their birthdays and things like that coming up that they're popping it out there, and those $50 to $100 to $200 donations that come through for the birthday events are just incredible, and they help so much.
They do. I mean, they add up really fast. I mean, as you've seen, like a good example, when your birthday rolled around, let me bring this one up. You started, I don't remember what you started it out at. I mean, it was a lower amount, but it got insane. I mean, you ended up raising over $5,000 on a Facebook birthday. It's picking the charity for your charity of choice on Facebook for your birthday like that. I mean, it ended up doing over $5,000.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing that people really came in and jumped in and donated to that. I mean, it was I was just in awe. I mean, I think I started off hoping to.
Yeah.
I think I said if we got the $500, I was going to match it, and so it'd be $1,000, which I thought that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
$1,000, and then it just kind of kept blowing up. So, but we had some great people that donated some things to it, and just kept doing it. So it went well. So it was pretty cool. But as I've always said, a lot of teaspoons fill the bathtub, and that's
yep.
these small amounts, they just keep adding up and adding up. And right now, like you said, you don't have anybody you're going to that you're sending money to at this point. But at some point, when you have three or four people, you're going to have the money for them, in the account because of all these small events.
Yep. Exactly. Yep. And it's going to, like I said, it's a matter of time now, so it's going to start popping up pretty soon, with kids that we're helping and people are going to see us do what we're doing with the charity and stuff here pretty soon. They're going to see another really good year, another really good year of us helping kids. And as I tell everybody I run into, I even tell them here at the hotel and stuff too, when we rent out Rhodes Hotel, when groups come in, they see the pictures of, we got pictures of all the kids that we've helped up on the wall. And, I tell people, when they rent it out, I'm like, you guys are part of this, you're contributing to that. So the next kid that you see that we help, you're a part of that. So thank you. That way then the next kid that they do see, that we share out there, hey, this is, this kid, and this is what happened, and we helped them, and, it's because of them, that we're able to do that. It's because of everybody doing, you know, what they do to help and support. I mean, you know, and no amount's too small. Like you said, you know, it's everything adds up fast and it helps a lot.
Yep. Yeah, sure does. But speaking of Rose Hotel, you know, since you've been there, living there for, it's been a year or so anyway.
Yeah.
Tell us a little about how things are going at Rhodes Hotel, and then Terry Mosby wants me to ask you if anything's really unnerved you, you know, since you've been there.
Everything's going great. I love it, you know, and people come in all the time, and they're like, doesn't it get old? I mean, you know, does it not just, you know what I mean? Like, you're here all the time. I'm like, no, actually it doesn't, because you don't know what to expect from one minute to the next, one day to the next. I've had some odd things happening actually in my bedroom, with different things that's been happening.
It's a family show, Mike. Now be careful there.
And they, you know, I've been seeing shadows back here, in my room, and it's kind of odd. You know, it seems like it's been picking up more lately, so I don't know if something's trying to get my attention or what, but I mean, it's been kind of odd with that, you know, and I've had a few times I've heard voices. You know, I had one of the doors actually, the door, my door going into the hotel, from my bedroom there is like, I've had it open up on me. Where I don't have it latched, sometimes it literally just opened up like somebody pushed the door open and walked out of the room. I was like, okay. But you know, I'm just different things like that I've had, you know, I mean, and I have the times like, you know, like Gina, you know, her and her husband that help, they live here in town, that help with things. You know, they came by one night and was just like, we hear people talking in the building, or you're not home, are you? You're traveling for the weekend. I'm like, yeah, I'm not home. And they're like, we hear conversations going on. I'm like, seriously? Like, you know, so then you want to scatter and like pull the cameras up and start looking around thinking, did somebody break in, you know, and I don't know about it. And they get by one of the cameras or what, but yeah, it's odd. But I love it here. You know, it's cool. You know, I've gotten used to it and you know, it's nice when I have groups, I literally just have to walk, you know, 30 feet or so to go let them in versus the 2.5 hours when I lived away from here.
Well, we've got about 8 minutes left or so. So tell us about some of the events or conventions, things like that you got coming up here soon.
Yeah, let's see here. We got, and this is something you're going to be at too, in Antioch, Illinois. You're going to have the Mystery Machine there, and then I'll be there, and like a few of the guys from Tennessee Race Chasers, Elizabeth Saint is going to be there. And that's going to be a fun weekend. That's coming up. I think we're going to be at Wildman Days in near Lexington, Kentucky, and that's the end of, it's like May 31st to June 2nd. The climb that I'm doing with Nick is June 23rd, or June 22nd, I mean, isn't it? But then, you and I will be at Old South Pittsburgh Hospital, June 28th and 29th. Nick Cross Tour is the 30th at Bobby Mackey's. We're going to be at Michigan Paracon. It's another one you're going to have the Mystery Machine at. That's what, August 22nd, 24th, I believe. And then CryptidCon is September 7th and 8th. That's in Lexington, Kentucky. Well, Lexington or Frankfort? I can't remember which that is. I think I know they moved it to a different hotel. Okay, this is there. This, okay, I know they changed hotels. I couldn't remember if it was still in the same city or not. So I mean, that's pretty much. We got Grand Rapids Comic Con. Mystery Machine will be there, right? And we'll be there pushing the charity and stuff. That's November 8th through 10th.
The end of September there in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, the New Earth Day Festival, yeah. Yeah, the huge thing, the Mystery Machine will be here as well. So you guys come out and check it out. We'll have the Mystery Machine here. We'll be doing like these little mini tours and stuff at the hotel. We'll be selling shirts and stuff for the charity and Rhodes Hotel shirts and all that stuff. And I think you have a few things coming up too, don't you? I mean, we got 5 minutes right now, so like let me spin it around in like the last few minutes here. Why don't you tell me what you have going on? I'll reclaim my show now, and then you tell me what you have going on.
Or you'll hit the mute button on me, one of the two, right?
So. Yeah, I can mute you out. Yeah, no big deal.
Yeah, there you go. Actually, well, this weekend at Ashmore, we've got our Kids Day, which is actually sold out, and we donate 100% of the money to Lost Limbs Foundation for that show or for that event. And then actually Monday or Saturday night, we have a 101 out at Ashmore that we donate. The first 10 tickets we keep at the building, the next 10 we donate to Lost Limbs Foundation. And right now there's 9 of those 10 sold. There's one ticket left to join Ron Turner with Paranormal Free Agents and their group out there for that event. Sunday, we actually have an open house at Ashmore where we don't charge anything. The only thing we ask you to do is bring in a canned good or personal hygiene item that we can take down to the Ashmore food pantry in Ashmore, Illinois, and take that down to them. And we will have the Mystery Machine out there this weekend too. So I'm hoping we're going to do something different. We're gonna take all the food down and we're going to put it in the back of the Mystery Machine, and Scooby-Doo is going to deliver it. So down to the
awesome.
Food pantry. So we'll have a little fun with that and probably post some pictures of it.
Yeah.
That'll be kind of fun.
That's awesome.
We've got, it'll work. But we've got some other, we've got our 101s each month. If you go to our website at ashmoreestates.net, you can see those that are going to be on there. We've got each month has a different 101 with a different group coming in. So we still got the rest of the year going. Kids Day, we've got another one coming up in October. September, and I know you can't make this one because you guys will be at the Crypticon, and I didn't know the dates on everything at the time that we booked this, but Chad Lindbergh will be at the Ashmore States with Christopher and Rachel Booth on September 6th and 7th. We're going to sell minimal tickets to that. And we've got Chad coming in. Everybody knows Chad for the most part. So we'll probably be planning our if we don't have it done by then, we'll probably just really work on that roasting thing with that we roast Crystal at. So if you can
yeah.
work on that. So we've got some events out there that are happening, and that pretty much winds out the end of the year, with things there. We'll have the Mystery Machine at a couple different events we've got coming up. In fact, when we bring it up to Atlanta to the New Earth Festival, I'm going to run up to Fort Wayne, Indiana, and set up for that Saturday afternoon for a short period of time with the Ashmore States and Rhodes Hotel. There's an event going on up in Fort Wayne that weekend as well, so we'll run up and do that. But it's it's that time of the year, but it gets busy, it gets crazy, and we're all running in different directions a lot of times.
Yeah, yep, it's our crazy months are ahead. Yep, busy. Yeah, and by the way, while I'm thinking about it, Crystal, happy late birthday. Her birthday was the other day, so just tell her happy birthday. And we haven't done the roast yet, but it's on its way soon.
Yeah, we're going to have to do that at some point here pretty quick because, we don't want her to, she's really, I think she was in tears because it didn't happen this year at her birthday. So I think we really need to really hammer it good and make sure it's done really perfectly right. So,
we got to get hold of Chad. We got to get a hold of Chad.
Thinking,
Chad's already
late. Sure.
So
I think, let's see, this week somebody else is going to be a little bit older too, aren't they?
Yeah, few days, Thursday,
You'll be, 28, 29, something like that?
Yeah, 21.
Start all over again.
Crystal
will probably rat you out here in a second. She'll probably send me a message.
Probably.
She
can't call in.
She's trying to turn the
tide. Called in, I can mute her, so. But, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're down to, 40 seconds. So we're almost out of time. So real fast, I know we're really pushing time now, but thanks to Rebecca because that was awesome. She just left her $800 or something like that. She dyed her hair blue and all this stuff. This is awesome.
Yep. Yeah. She's done a great job. She's gonna be out there this weekend. Looking forward to her. And I know you're about out of time, but know, the 46-year-old guy on Thursday, you know, you'll be up and ready to go before you know it.
Yeah. No doubt. Well, we're down to 10 seconds, so I'll just say thanks for taking over the show, and it's been fun, and it was cool talking about everything, and then I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Talk to you later.
All right, we'll see you. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.